Hey guys, before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to our Level 3 courses. Wem and I tried to sit down and do some big swanky radio advert and it's just not us. So I'm just going to chat about it for a minute. So our Level 3 training is the same price as some other courses out there where you just get 5 days and you are out the door, do your coursework on your own. Our course is for the same price is 10 days of training. So for our May cohort, that's 5 days. And then we have a bit of a month off to just let that settle. We come back for a weekend, maybe do a bit of camping. Then we have a bit more time off and then we come back for another weekend. With the September group, we do 5 Mondays starting in September. Then we have a bit of a break. Then we come back in the new year and do another 5. So we're really like focusing on building community as we go. We didn't really want to do that like conveyor belt thing. We could be doing, you know, a Level 3 course every school holiday, banging them out, off you go. But we don't want to do that. We do Zoom calls throughout the year. We do loads of like cohort, you know, community building sessions and stuff to help people with what they're doing. And that means that we want to do it well rather than doing lots of it. So we're trying to help people do that. And we're also really big on this community aspect. And we found that people not only find the course easier to do in terms of workload, but also easier to do emotionally when they do it with somebody they already know. So to try and encourage that, we're doing a train together kind of offer. So if you and someone else you know sign up to do the course with us together, we'll give you some money off your course because we found that the success rate is much higher. People are much happier while they're doing the course and it makes our life easier as tutors because, you know, happy students, motivated students, we're all kind of getting on together. So if you want to be part of a community rather than just being put through a conveyor belt, then have a look at our website. It goes to myforestschooltraining.co.uk. That'll take you to the Children of Forest website. And you can go from there, get your application in and join our communities. So on with the podcast.
I'm Wem.
And I'm Lewis.
This is the Forest School Podcast.
Let's go. Recording in the comfy winter house. My house is, I said to you, full of Christmas decorations now.
So festive.
So festive. I'm gonna hold mine.
Oh wow! I need to actually take a photo of you.
Me. This is me technically working.
I like the way that you've got a djembe in front of you, so it does look kind of forestry.
Yeah.
Listeners couldn't hear me there.
It's the beginning of. Well, it's December at the end of this week, isn't it? We're actually being proactive and recording things slightly ahead of time.
Festive Yule times. Yes. This, can we put some like little jingle bell music over this intro? Jingle, 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 jingle.
No, I'm just going to loop that. I'm going to link loop jingle, jangle, jingle, jangle.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Yeah, wintery, isn't it?
It's getting there. It's getting there.
Although, there are a lot of trees in our... I'm looking out your window now. A lot of trees in our woods... And my garden actually seemed to be hanging on for that last bit of winter sun.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, but really like, not actually. We said we need to remember this in March, that like, you know, it's been very late. This autumn has gone on for quite a while.
Yes, and we were just prepping for this podcast and we were thinking about other similar topics that we might have done over many years now, because we have done this podcast for like an embarrassingly long time, haven't we? And we've done like a winterizing your site, but really kind of focusing on nature or on like woodland management. And we've done one about practitioner burnout, which I think we might have done in like February, March kind of time of year once, when everything's just a bit like, oh my God, the mud is still here and it's still really cold and the tarps are still wet all the time. But we thought we'd make this one about like winter welfare.
This is proactive. This is like... stuff you can do to not feel like that in February beforehand.
And also, I think, to help your groups, whoever those groups may be. I think in prepping, I'm thinking quite a lot about like other adults that might be at your sessions as well as children. And let's face it, like this winter is harsh in many ways. Like even if the weather isn't that bad, there is so much other shit going on that... you need to be aware of, which, well, we're all aware of. We all know, because it's affecting all of us, but some people more than others, which is going to add on to people's experiences of forest school at this time. So you noticed there was a post on the Facebook forest school support group about like just talking about like attendance to forest school in winter time, and lots of people were kind of sharing the same experiences about Asa, that's my dog, about group attendance dropping off. Yeah. And obviously if you are running sessions for money and people are paying like per week, then obviously weather and illness and all these things, but also the cost of living crisis and just general mood and all of that stuff about like, well, am I actually going to leave my house now to go outside for 2 hours to sit in the rain and the wind or whatever, and pay for that privilege. It's like, we thought we would just talk about that a little bit. We've both done a sort of mind map about things that we've either done or are planning to do to help. I think I might just move my little dog because he wants to be involved in the podcast, but he can't speak English. So, do you want me to take you to somewhere else? You be quiet. Okay, be quiet. Yeah. Do you want to start with one?
Yeah, sure. So I sort of divided... Dog, you don't know what we're talking about. Dog's gone.
Pardon?
Dog's gone. So what did I write down? Do you know what? This kind of sparked... Somebody sent us a message on our... I can't remember what it's called. SpeakPipe. On our website, on the podcast. Hmm. So somebody sent us a really nice message saying, one, they really liked it because they didn't have to sit down and type. They could just like push the record button and it sends us like a voice memo, which is great because they waffled and rambled, and then that's very on brand. So if you want to send us a waffly, rambly message, you can.
Yeah, it's on our website, isn't it?
And then they were asking about, have you done one about self-care? Have you done one about these things? I was like, yeah, what am I doing for self-care? And so I... have learned about myself that like what makes my brain happy is like being productive in the sense of like physically producing a thing. So I've got some nice, like, I've been carving wooden bowls. That's making my brain very happy. I've been like making Christmas gifts. I find like that helps me get through winter quite a lot, actually, is thinking like, you know, rather than like moping and being like, oh, it's cold, and being like, right, well, got to make these things and like think about the people that I love while I make the gifts, and it's all very wholesome. So like I would kind of encourage people to be thinking, really getting into like, what is your jam? Where does your flow come from? And then if you can build that into your, if you have the freedom to build that into your sessions, like maybe try and drip that in. So like so for us, because, you know, we're the leaders. We're not apart from the group. We are a part of the group. Mm-hmm. So I've just been doing some work recently on, like, levelling out our whittling. We've got, like, a tool whittling area. And I sort of looked at it and I was like, well, I really love whittling and carving. And, like, why don't I do it in the sessions? Because this place looks like a dump. You know, call a spade a spade. So I've been trying to like level that because it's a bit bumpy, and like put wood chip down, make it like pleasant, and sort of building myself a nice space in my work. We've talked before about like, if you look at a classroom, how much of it is there just for the learners rather than the teacher who also spends all their time there. And like, is there anything you can build into your site or build into your sessions to be like, that does benefit the learners? Like the learners will get stuff out of our whittling area being better, but it is also helping me get through winter and helping me go, yeah, this brings me joy. Mm. Like, so I'm doing those things. I don't know if you have, do you, what's your like brings me flow, brings me joy?
Well, I'm struggling with that a little bit at the moment, I have to say. I did this mind map just here of, and I, you know, winter welfare, and I had others on one side and me on the other side. I was like, okay, because it's like two, you know, so what have I done or what am I doing for other people who are coming to forest school to help them through this winter and help it be a good experience still for them? And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I've got 10 things that I've done or I'm doing for other people, and I've got 2 for me.
Yeah, but do you not think that sort of says that like looking after people is your flow?
Yes, I definitely think that is, that definitely helps, because you don't feel helpless. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, is about watching groups kind of struggling. Oh no, the dog, go away dog, you're fine. Watching people struggle through a difficult session is really draining and really horrible for everybody. Definitely feeling like I'm being proactive about it. Should we pause and I'll try and sort him out?
Yeah, looking after other people. We've both, I think, been in that situation where you end up like absolutely amping up your own energy to like drag other people up with you, and you cannot do that multiple days a week, hours and hours at a time.
Yes, so I definitely think this year I've been trying to focus on like practical and physical things that are going to help people that then I don't have to provide exactly that, rather than going like, okay, so I must make sure that I am like, me giving all these things. It's things that I can do. So just like really simple things that might make people's bodies feel better whilst they're in the woods. So we've got loads of like insulated camping mats, like really kind of quite cheap roll mats, haven't we, that we use for doing sit spots and things. And we also got donated loads of like bright crocheted granny blankets, I would call them.
They're like baby blankets, I always think. That big holy type.
So that like granny squares.
And
we've often like put those blankets on the benches and put pillows on the benches or whatever, especially when it gets cold. But then I was like, why I could put the insulating mats underneath the granny blanket, so it still looks all like cozy.
Yeah, it looks homey.
But literally, when you sit on it, your body, your butt warmth is reflected back at your butt, and that something really small like that is going to make it a lot more pleasant for somebody to be sitting for any length of time. And you can do that before a session. It doesn't take that much extra energy or effort. But that when someone sits down, instead of getting a cold, hard bench, they're getting a nice little cushioned reflective heat, and things like that. And I think we both wrote down things like spare clothes for adults as well as children. So I took home the manky spare clothes box and washed everything, tumble dried everything, so it like smells all fresh. Put all the gloves in a bag, put all the hats in a bag, made sure that there was adult stuff in there as well. And at the start of each session, I'm telling all the groups like, that's there, you don't have to get it from the cabin, you don't have to ask, you can just go and help yourself to any spare clothes that you need for the session. We all forget stuff, you know. You've forgotten a hat for yourself or gloves for your kid, just take some and borrow them. And knowing that's there is just really like, oh, that's a weight off.
It's like a safety net.
So things like that, and going like, and here are all of the hot drinks, and we've got one group that always has hot drinks and just fills their boots and does it. And we've got one group who just are very, either they are shy about it or don't want it, and I haven't worked out which one it is, or they haven't really worked out how it works or whatnot. So just being way more proactive, just as if they were coming to my house and go, anyone want a cup of tea? And people going,
do you know what
actually,
else we
yes,
have
please.
Done actually that I've noticed has been a big improvement, which is like, you have been sourcing from like charity shops and like donations, these like reusable thermal cups. Either they're like double lined or they're just a bit thicker or they're whatever else,
and
like,
you know,
they've
the
got lids with the little, you know, silicon bit to stick, you know, they look like takeaway coffee cups, that kind of type. And I've noticed that really helping, just in that way of like, because we've always had mugs, and we've had a lot of enamel mugs, and we've had a lot of like cups, and there's, everybody has that like set of plastic IKEA cups that the adults drink from too. But like, we all know that thing of being an adult making a hot drink and then your childcare needs, meaning that you don't get to that drink in a reasonable time. And so in the winter, that being like even more extreme of like, you put that cup down, that is cold in a couple of minutes, and that is then almost more unpleasant than not having a drink. So like, investing the time in sourcing those cups, as I've noticed, made a real difference to the adults that come to our sessions, to be like, my drink is secure and I can take it around with me, and like,
and I can remember which one's mine because they're like different colours and all that kind of stuff.
Definitely.
I think there's also something about and obviously the more cycles of the year that you are running forest school in the same kind of place and with similar kind of groups, the more you get into that flow and rhythm of the seasons, and having more acceptance about it and not trying to force a vibe, which I think if we're the kind of people who are hosting groups, we are very tuned into vibes, and we're very keen to create a certain vibe, a certain feeling, and to notice a seasonal pattern in what happens in the atmosphere at a group, and from the summer to the winter, and not trying to recreate the atmosphere of a summer session in a winter session.
Yeah.
And that works both ways. So we've talked before about how, like, storytelling, for example, in the summer just goes out the window, just like naturally. Whereas in the winter, even though you'd think, oh, it's actually harder work to sit down and sit still in the winter because it's really cold and listen to a story, but something about it really invites it and people really are looking to you to tell a story around the fire, where in summer people are much more happy to be independent and don't necessarily want to be pulled away from whatever crazy thing they're doing to come and listen to a story. And so I think leaning into that, and for example, and I think we both wrote down like community building in the winter. So there's something. Did you write that down as well?
I had put that on a comment on Facebook saying that, like, the more you can, I mean, it's like the opposite of like get your fields ready in the winter. It's like use the summer to build that sense of community and build that, like, if people are coming to you for like activities, just activities, then it comes to winter and understandably they go, well, I can go on Pinterest and I can do these cutting and sticking and colouring activities in my house, and that's much more appealing in the winter. But if you've built community and you've built that, like, adult shared space and, like, you know, that what's the phrase that you taught me? Like, mutually beneficial space. Mm. That you've made it not just a place that people bring their kids because then the kids go running. That, like, this is specifically talking about toddler groups now. You know, that you've built that thing of, like, actually the adult-to-adult, you know, the parent-to-parent relationships are just as important. And that carries you through a lot more winter sessions than just, like, you should come this week because we're doing fairy crafts. You should come this week because we're doing campfire marshmallows. Like, that stuff is fun, but it's not as resilient compared to that need for community.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say a thing as well that I haven't written down on here that's, like, in terms of looking after yourself in those sessions, and you saying about vibe, and as the sticker that I made says, neurodivergent emotional sponges that we are very tuned into. Like, you end up spending some time in, for some of our groups, you spend some time in an area, and you can walk away going, like, this session is, like, really dragging. This is, like, everybody's cold. Everybody's, like, wants to go home and whatever. And then because it's the two of us, you go, we really start. And I go, oh, one of us goes, the other one, you come to each other and go, oh, this is really, and you go, that's it. We're all right. Mm. We're all, like, sort of just checking in of, like, have you just been in one space with one group of people or with one particular child who's having, which is sometimes what you're drawn to do, is to go to that person that's having a hard time and really support them and really help them.
Yeah.
But that can also then colour your view, your impression of the session. You can have that thing of, like, as we all do, we're all human, like 90% of the people in your group are, like, okay and ticking along and doing whatever, but, like, you zero in and you end up spending the session with that person that really needed help, which is great, but you have to recognize that that is taking something from you, and maybe go, I'm gonna go check in on everybody else and we're gonna chat with these people here who are making the warm coffee and we'll talk about coffee and all those things, and, like, just checking in with yourself as you move around the group, like, you can social butterfly and, you know, do that to keep yourself going through a set, because then it gives you the energy to return back to those people that need help and go, oh, look, I can now tell you that person's doing that. There's an activity going on, you know, you don't just get stuck in a spiral.
Yeah.
I was also making a note to say that, like, I think we do a lot more walking in the winter, a lot more, like, guided trails, a lot more let's go looking for this thing. That's more, like, in that way that we've said before, like, everybody tries to the natural instinct is to go and sit next to the fire. I think I wrote in the comment a fire that wouldn't heat a can of baked beans because it's not big enough, but grown-ups will, adults will come and go, we need to stay by here, let's warm our fire, hands up on it, and you go, I can't just tell you, like, go away from the fire. So you have to have a thing like, we're going to go looking for animal tracks. We're going to go looking for fairies. We're going to go collecting sticks to whittle. We're going to go collecting something that gets you. And then we take a circuitous route because it's about the journey, not the destination. And like that little hike is like, A, eats up some time, which is great. Like, not eats it up in like a bad way, just in terms of like, that fills your session with things, yeah. with active doing. Yeah. It allows you to move up and down a little line of people and go, hey, how are we going? Oh, have you seen this thing? And move up and like, adults feel like, oh, we did that thing, didn't we? We went and we looked for this.
Yeah, like, there's always amazing nature learning that happens there, always. I think there's that thing of kids being that much nearer the ground that they mm-hmm. spot stuff. It's been an amazing year for fungi, hasn't it? So there's been loads of like, whoa, what is this?
Loads of beach candle snuff.
Yeah.
In our woods.
Fungus, yeah. It's great.
Cements.
So yes, it kind of, you know, you can't really plan those. Well, you might plan that you're going to go and get some hazel sticks, as you say, and then actually it's become a walk all about squirrel activity yeah. because you've noticed something on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that moving, and it's so important in the
yeah.
winter.
Yeah.
One of the things I've written down as well, though, is that depending on your site, like, it's really important for us, like, thinking about temporary wind breaks.
Yes.
You know, the wind is so much colder than the actual, you know, just being outside is often not that bad. It's the wind yeah. that is wicking that heat off you or taking the fire away. And like, thinking about wind breaks in terms of like, can you stick a tarp up here for a session? Or can you move the fire to over here? Can you relocate, you know, just, and again, it's a bit like building that community over the summer, like looking at your site in the summer and going, which way does the wind come from? Keep, you know, we keep a pretty detailed log of like when it was this speed from this direction, this is what it felt like, so that when you see the forecast, you've got an idea of like, oh, okay, that's going to feel like this. We need to get this up in this place. And like, if you've got the time, if you've got the luxury of it to go in ahead of time and plan out where those windbreaks might go, so that you're not having to, because lots of people will run toddler groups on their own and they don't have the ability to like pause the whole session while they run around. And I've definitely been in schools where I've like dropped the ball in that I've not really been delivering a session because my focus is like, I've just got to get this windbreak up. Why didn't I come in 10 minutes earlier and put this up? Like, oh, this is just...
On the flip side, if you are by yourself and you've got like a long running group, I think there's definitely, you can underestimate how much goodwill people have in terms of helping out. So being able to go, right, we are a community, and if we want to keep going in this weather, do you guys mind helping me? And like making that part of the session that, you know, especially if you're thinking about trying to avoid burnout, like you can't do everything by yourself. And I think a lot of people, think, yeah, I'm offering this thing and people are paying me and I've got to like make sure that everything is smooth and everything is as easy as possible. But I think, yeah, as long as you're obviously not charging too much, which I don't think anyone is, you know, being able to say that out loud to people and go, okay, right, it's going to be challenging, but and that is part, it's giving them an opportunity to,
it's ownership, it's having some ownership over the group, and that definitely is genuinely like community and community building and hierarchy destroying to go, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to, can you help me put this stuff up? Can you carry that over there? You know, would you mind moving this thing? Or, one of the things that I've really been trying to work on with our site, and it's got, and we've got really a lot better, is having mud be, this is going to sound really stupid, but like having mud be optional. In that when we first moved onto our site, it was very like
in the winter, main path was horrendous,
super boggy. Yeah. You know,
that was the first thing you came across. It was like, in order to get to main camp, you have to walk, let's be honest, like if you were with a toddler who was walking themselves, probably about between 5 and 7 minutes walk along squelchy mud. With some slippery logs along the side to try and demarcate the path, but then they want to balance on it and then they fall over and fall in the mud and yada yada. I know what you're saying. It wasn't optional. Like, that was your, like, you have to get in there.
You haven't even got into the session yet.
Yeah.
The mud's there.
And it's hard. And we looked into loads of different options, didn't we? And we've talked about this before, but it definitely bears saying again, because we're coming up to this time of year. So if people are thinking about this, so we asked for donations of Christmas trees, and we've done this for probably 5 years now. So in terms of just people who live locally and people who come to our sessions and anyone who wants to get rid of their Christmas tree, we've said just like lob it over the gate. You've been round collecting it for 1 year. That was a lot of effort, God, wasn't it?
I wouldn't recommend that.
But yeah, lob it over the gate, leave it in a donation place where it's out of the way.
Yeah.
We asked shops who had stock at the end of after Christmas.
We even asked, 1 year we got the big council one from the like middle of a town that they cut in half and just went, here you go, it's
people
enormous.
People are really happy to get rid of it.
But we should explain why we wanted Christmas trees.
So you want to get the Christmas trees and then sned them, which is the process of slicing off all of the branches, basically, which you can do with a billhook or an axe or whatever. So you want to keep, you know, each long big branch intact, but slice it off the main trunk and then lay those over your muddiest areas like a carpet. So you can go several layers thick if you've got loads. And then over that, then you put your wood chip. So
you need like a couple of inches of wood chip on top.
And so then the wood chip doesn't sink into the mud and you've lost all that lovely.
Yeah, it spreads the weight over this. You're essentially making like those when you go camping at a festival and you go on those rubber mats for cars.
But we started off by looking at those rubber mats and things, didn't we? How on earth can we do this, or can we like get a digger in and scrape all the mud away and so it's getting back down to the hardcore, because there was originally a road there. But it has been so effective, and to do that and top that up every couple of years and knowing that it is all natural stuff and it's just going to obviously degrade over time, but has worked surprisingly well for both the main path in and around the fire circle.
Well, to the point where now people, you know, they never used to. This is not advisable, but there was a point in time where I was carrying a wheelchair over, then going back across the mud to then pick up the learner and carry them across the mud, because the main site was okay, but the path in and out was not good. Whereas now, people bring pushchairs in. Mm. We've got people with like those bike trailers that just come. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
It's easy. They've, you know, in some ways, I want to be like, do you know how good you've got it now? Do you know how good, you know?
It used to be rubbish.
It used to be all
mud around
here. And
it probably has taken 3 or 4 years of doing, of, you know, laying more branches on top. But if anyone's struggling with mud and wants an idea, and also kids can help with that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a really pleasurable thing to do, or not just kids, groups.
My pro tip is, because this is my most recent pro tip, is like, do it in the summer. As long as you think like, oh, I don't need to, like the Christmas tree bit you've got to do in the winter, but then put more wood chip down in the summer when you don't think you have to, when the paths are like bone dry, because moving barrows of wet wood chip in the winter is infinitely harder than moving dry, you know, airy wood chip in the summer.
Yeah, and pushing the wheelbarrows through the mud that's already there as opposed to the dry.
Yeah. And just to sort of pull it back then, just like making that mud optional if you can, sort of also being like, round the main camp, thinking about like what areas have you got where it's not a trudge to get through, or because we still have loads of mud on site. We've not by any means like completely banished mud and it's bone dry all the time, and we are a national trust property and it all looks pristine. Like, there is mud. It's just about going, okay, you know, like when they say you plan a kitchen and you go, it's like cooker to fridge to work surface,
working
triangle, like doing that for your site and going like, what are the 3 or 4 most traveled routes? Let's get them sorted if we can. And if you know if you're talking to other people, if your site is like a managed site by someone else, like offering that in and going like, you know, this is what I've heard, this is the tip, it would really help me out if you could, you know, do that, or if we can make this part of the improvement plan, that would be amazing. And just being like, in general, I feel like welfare wise really focusing in on gratitude in the winter is like super helpful, both for your own mental health, giving out the gratitude, being like, every time you say like, oh, thanks for cutting all that wood, or thanks for helping to wood chip that really does like make a difference. Or like, we have the benefit of running multiple groups over the same site, so we can speak on behalf of other groups, and like quite often I will thank some of the home ed kids for stuff that will help the toddler groups, even though they never see it, just to be like, thank you so much, mate, because that genuinely makes their life so much easier. Or like, oh, I know you've built that thing and they're gonna love it, like they're really gonna love that. Or you know, just focusing on being grateful and how that feels, and that it is a time where we, you know, we always need to help each other, but more so,
yeah,
that builds us up.
Yeah, I think something that's helped me, not just at work, but kind of like mental health wise, about like winter going all the way up to sort of April kind of time, because I used to really, really struggle. I used to get really down in the in the winter, and something's definitely helped me if you're not really into it or haven't looked into it that much, is looking at the wheel of the year and thinking about like what is meant to happen at these times of year.
Like an almanac way thing. To say.
Yeah, and kind of so the stuff about kind of like, it sounds really big, and I guess it is quite big, but like accepting death.
You've been listening to the Forest School podcast.
Accept death with open arms.
A podcast where, with no warning, you have to accept death.
I mean,
you know, coffee cups and mud and fucking death.
Everything dies. We all die. Goodbye.
Yeah. Someone's scribbling notes and they've gone, oh, yeah, coffee cups, yeah, accept okay, death. And I've got to take this accept back death. And accept death.
Because without death, there is no life.
Oh,
without
God,
darkness,
right.
There
come
is
on.
No light. I'm trying to make this into a more accessible thing that I'm trying to say here. So, winter, the north, the earth, going inwards and things becoming paused. And without it being like, say, you can look at it, okay, mental health wise, seasons, blah. You can either go, just focus on all the sparkly lights and the hugger and the la, and just like distract yourself with the lovely things, which is great and definitely works for some people. But then you kind of go, well, I've done the sparkly lights and the Christmas is over now, and I've still got quite a long time of like darkness and mud and wetness and cold. And there's just something about the wheel of the year, which is the kind of like this. So you've done a beautiful picture of it on our loo.
Yeah, toilet graffiti. Yeah.
Yes. And so it's like breaking up the year into, obviously you've got your main festivals of Yule and
Ostara,
Easter and Samhain in October. And you've got all of the smaller festivals like Imbolc in February. And what they do for me, even if you don't celebrate them in an amazing ritual involving your local community around a bonfire that you have been building as a group for the last 3 weeks, even if you don't do anything apart from you're going, oh, it's Imbolc next week, and that's all you're doing, it has helped me beyond measure, I think, because it breaks it down into little manageable chunks, and it marks kind of like things that are happening in terms of the light, like the amount of daylight. So even if it is like we are marking this day because it's the shortest day, it helps you to go, so therefore it's going to get lighter. So the amount of times I've said to people recently, not Forest School people, just people when I've met walking the dog, or people, you know, just
you grab people off the street, don't
I
you?
Grab people off the street, say, and say, listen, death. You accept death and embrace the pagan Celtic wheel of the year. And people go, oh, the nights are drawing in, aren't they? Oh, it's really depressing. It's getting really bad. I go, well, actually, you know, the short, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's nearly the shortest day, though. And they go, what? When's the shortest day? You're like, 21st of December. And they go, is it really? Is it really? That's the shortest day. You know, people just don't know that.
People assume it's going to be in late January, so, because that's when we're feeling the lowest. Yeah.
It's like from the 21st of December, so before Christmas Day, the days are already getting longer. And so to have that awareness, if you're looking forward to that sunny time, gives you a kind of like, okay, so now I know what to expect, now I know what to look forward to, all those kind of things. And also kind of markates that time of like, yes, this is still the time where the days are getting shorter. So the expectations of me, myself, and the outside world are this now. I shouldn't be expecting to, you know, be outdoors and having a great time in daylight at 5 o'clock or whatever.
Can you hear my stomach?
Listeners, we haven't had any lunch.
I'm going to blame the rambling. Dog. Dog's asleep.
The dog's asleep now.
Do
you know what I'm trying to say?
I do know what you're trying to say, and I think it links to, so I wrote down, because you and I were just talking about, like, you know, just checking in,
how are we feeling about our work-life balances, how are we feeling about all these things, and like, it's good to have those conversations and those pauses, and like, you know, we're talking about like, oh, maybe we'd want to do this kind of project in the summer, maybe we want to do this kind of, and actually, like you're saying about like, you know, the days are getting longer, you know, from when we release this, they'll almost be starting to get longer anyway. Like, now is the time, partly because the evenings are drawn in, and as dull as it sounds from a like capitalistic business point of view, now is the time to be emailing new schools. Now is the time to be like thinking about drawing up new leaflets. Now is the time to be thinking about like, okay, I can't go outside and like go, well, you can go camping, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's not as pleasurable to spend your lush summer evenings out in a garden and doing whatever. Like, you're inside. Okay, so what can you be doing inside? You do need to be getting your feet under you for summer. Mm. You know, in the opposite way of like getting your stores prepared for winter, you need to be getting your business stores running up for summer and going like, okay, I'm going to start.
Or even things like, you know, what CPD am I going to do, because things like weekend courses are happening in the summer months a lot more. So it's giving yourself something to look forward to and go, you know, a bit like planning a holiday in your personal life, that in your work life you can be like already planning and looking forward to stuff that is going to be happening when the weather's nice. Oh, sorry, listen, I dropped my microphone. My phone is vibrating. This has been the most interrupted podcast in terms of noise.
Is your phone vibrating under the dog?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, this is insane because it sounds like the dog is going.
I'm sorry, listeners. It's not really professional, is it? This podcast has been brought to you by intrusivenoises.com.
Yes, I agree. Like, it is just a time to be thinking about what you're going to plant. I think that's the way to.
Yes, absolutely. And that if you're thinking, I just like that metaphor about planting. Yeah. The ideas, the seeds, thinking about it.
You might be thinking like, I've got nothing on May half term. And like, I wonder what I could be doing May half term. You could be doing a level 3 course in May. That was seamless, wasn't it? They never fucking hear it. Right. That was, you didn't even see it coming. Yeah. You might be going, yeah, but I can't do it in May half term. You might be like, I could probably only get one day off a week. Well, do you know we do that in September, mate? Right. Mondays. You know, Monday, we just do a couple of Mondays. It's like 5 or 6 Mondays in a row. Mm. It's lush. It's much more easy to break down. That's the sort of thing you should be thinking about in the winter. Didn't even see it coming. Your home is very lovely. Well, I was going to say it's very lovely and decorated, and I looked around and I realised my hand was touching raw plaster.
On a wall where wires hanging out of the wall. But apart from that, yeah, it's really nice.
But your house is very... your house has got a lot of hugger in it.
Has it?
Yeah, you've got, you know, your hanging wreath, and you always have lots of... you put your lights up.
Yes.
When did you put your lights up? Because you put them up at a special time.
That's a Wheel of the Year thing, yeah.
Go on, tell me about your lights.
So, I want to say 2 things about lights. Marburn is the late September...
Yeah.
I want to say quarter festival, but maybe it's not quarter festival.
Yeah, it's halfway, isn't it? Halfway
between Samhain and... Halfway to the solstice. I don't know. Anyway, Marburn... late harvest. So put the fairy lights, got long just white coloured fairy lights in the kitchen, which is the room we spend most of the time in, put them up at Marburn and take them down at Imbolc, otherwise known as Candlemas, which is where you would traditionally maybe be cutting down on using candles because it's getting lighter in the evenings. So they're not Christmassy lights really. Well, they are, but they're not reserved just for Christmas. And I want to say on that note that I heard a thing the other day, which was, you know, that like Grinchy kind of, the Christmas is in the shops and the people have put their Christmas tree up and it's not even December, like, which we're all guilty of doing for sure.
Yeah.
And then I heard this thing the other day going, before you like scathingly judge someone for putting up Christmas decorations early, maybe consider that, especially this year, they are going, everything is completely shit. I want to feel a bit more cheerful. How can I do that? I'll put my Christmas tree up a month earlier than I normally do. Mm. Or I'm going to put my fairy lights out.
Hey, I think we all did it in lockdown.
Yeah.
Like, we all kind of went, right, fucking Christmas starts in November, mate.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. And so, you know, really, is it offending you? So why do you need to, like, be all kind of like, yeah, just because everyone else does it. I was like, yeah. Definitely but it have been guilty of that.
It definitely relates back to the thing I was thinking about, like your home setting and your home decorations. And like, again, if you have the luxury of time to do this, to be, or you know, it doesn't take loads. I'm not talking about like going down to B&Q, knocking down a wall and repainting everything for, you know, just thinking about like, what can you be doing if it's like a little bit of incense or like some Poundland tea lights that go on the dinner table or so, like what are you doing jars. So that you're if you are finding your sessions hard emotionally and physically, but like if you, what are you doing to like give yourself those little moments of it's not necessarily like spirituality, but like those little moments of like, oh, that's a bit nice, isn't it? Like get to come home and like, oh, I don't know, you know, yeah, you stick the fairy lights on, or you've got something that, so that you go, I'm going home to that, or you know, quite a lot of us, I think, have a difficulty because forest school is so all-consuming in that work-life balance, you know, it's hard to switch off.
Yeah.
But thinking about like, okay, my outside life right now for a few months is going to be muddy, windy, kind of like powering through.
Yeah.
So what do I do to remind myself that when I'm inside,
yeah,
I'm not in that space.
I've definitely reduced expectations of myself in the evenings this year in terms of when the weather and the job gets harder. Because you do need longer. You need longer to sit on the sofa with a cup of tea, fingers crossed, you know, if you are allowed that time in your life, and to do nothing afterwards, because it is even just walking through the mud, even if your session, even if everyone's happy and chill and everything goes well, just walking through mud...
Yeah,
is twice as draining as not walking through mud, or you know, keeping yourself energized when it's freezing cold is hard work.
Yeah.
So just be easy on yourself.
Just be kind.
Just be kind. So kind free selfless. Tip: meditation with Adrian. You know, yoga with Adrian. I'm Adrian. This is Benji. That's her dog.
No,
that was a lockdown phenomenon. Okay, so she's. I think she's probably like the most popular yoga person on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
She's lovely. She's like a she's like a person that you're like, I feel like I know her. She's just like my nice friend. She's like kind, bit funny, not righteous, just great.
Right.
And she does little, she's got about 5 or 6 meditation videos as well. So I can't usually do meditation because I find it too static and not engaging enough. I've tried with like a speaking apps that guide you through it, but she does videos and oh my god, so good. So good. There's one about self-love. It's lovely. So nice. Do recommend.
That's the way. Do you think that links then to one of the notes I made was like increasing the low arousal approach in your sessions, in that like in the summer it's very easy to plan a bit less and things will come up and everybody will be chilled and in hammocks and sitting and oh la 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 summertime, and like in the winter kind of again it's like what are you planting? It's like just having a bit more on offer in the sessions, not necessarily doing more but having more on offer.
Definitely, I find myself doing that naturally
to
and also to kind of signpost what might be happening next week, and I think that's a real, like, so we've been saying to our groups, you know, so from next week it is officially December, so next week we will be doing this, like, you know, even if it's just one thing that you can tell people, we are definitely doing that next week. We are cooking mince pie donuts and or we are making willow stars or whatever. So it's like something to look forward to, and at least somebody, you know, if they come and they only stay for half the session because it's just too hard.
I've written down understanding absence in mind. Just you know, if someone wants to come and be part of your community, even for, you know, in other times, it's very easy for us to go kind of like, oh yeah, but the longer sessions build community, and 2 hours is the, you know, minimum, and you're gonna miss the circle, or you're gonna miss this thing, and like actually going, okay, I trust you to decide how much of a forest school session you need today. if you need to go after 5 minutes, if you need to come halfway through, I need you, you know, just convey and conveying that, as well as having it, you know, in your back pocket to go, I'm not worried if people are late. Like, actually say it and actually let people know and go like, look, guys, it's all right. You know, you're standing your kids in the boot of the car and putting them in wet weather stuff is going to take longer than it does in the summer. So like, we're all right. Shall we push the starting circle back 10 minutes? Shall we do this thing? Shall we meet over here instead? Or, you know, just be understanding and like, kind of be okay with that, and it will, that's that community building thing. And then one of the things I have is like, this is quite a, this one might be trickier depending on your site, but one of the things I have is like, space to not clash. So like, particularly, we've talked a lot about cold and wind. We're talking about like rain as well. You add in, particularly for us, you know, we do, for some of our kids, they come two days a week, 6 hour days.
Yeah.
It can sometimes rain for all 12 of those hours. And, you know, there've been times, you know, when we were early on, where we had a 4x4 tarp over the campfire. And that's the only shelter we had during the day. And like, it's doable, but it isn't pleasant to spend. Because even though there isn't a wall, there is kind of an invisible wall of like, you all now have to stay cramped up in here.
Yeah.
And like, thinking about, you know, how much space. So we're very lucky that we've got like a big covered parachute that's like 12 meters across. We've got a kitchen that's like a lean-to kitchen thing. And a sort of lower down, another sheltered covered area. And they're all visible to each other, so we as leaders can be in any one of those spaces and still keep an eye on the group. And like,
and just to clarify, they are just made out of wood and tarps. These aren't built structures. We're not talking about temporary classrooms. And that we've done over a long period of time, haven't we? So these aren't things that we kind of knocked up in 5 minutes. They could be taken down really easily, but they are big enough for a few people to be in there at the same time. But they're all very, temporary. I definitely think that's important, a bit of choice of space, so that, and especially with kids who maybe they all want to stay dry right now, but they want to be doing very different things. So that you haven't all got like play cycles overlapping and people getting ratty with each other. I've noticed a bit of a thing happening. I don't know if you've noticed it, that with our home ed group, whenever it rains, there will be at least two people who'll be like, right, time to get the beds out. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, they just want to go to bed.
It's amazing. It's something about the...
You say time to get the beds out. We don't have beds. No. What you mean is they get the roll mats out, they get the blankets out and the cushions.
We've got all of our roll mats, the granny blankets I mentioned earlier, and the pillows in a big metal box, and the kids are allowed and able to access those themselves whenever they need to. And yeah, loads of kids will just like make this like massive... It's like a nest, isn't it? Like make a massive bed, and it's just like, ding, it's raining. That's what we do now. And they might only be in it for a little bit of time, but they'll still be like kind of playing a game or they'll want to sit in it and have a story or whatever. And it is kind of creating that hugger space in one area. And not all of them want to do it, but lots of them do. And whenever I see those posts on Facebook or whatever with Forest School leaders going, I'm just starting out, what kit do I need? What do I want to buy? I always am really tempted to write blankets and pillows. Like, you don't even need to buy them. Just ask for donations. People have like scatter cushions that they don't need anymore, or things that have just gone a bit manky but would be fine outside.
Yeah.
Because the play value is immense. There's something about kind of them having the tools to make something more comfortable and soft and warm. That's a real... like basic human
instinct. It is that thing, isn't it? Like we all enjoy, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't, if it starts torrentially raining just as you go to bed, that is the best feeling of just like,
there's definitely a word for that somewhere, isn't there?
And it's like that, it clearly exists very deep down in all of us to just be like, it's raining, I need to curl up and do the thing. Definitely, and we have done before, going the other way, I have also done what I would call a distracting fire, where in, because our fire pit's very built up and it's very set, you know, it's got like a foot of cob clay stuff around it in all directions, and I would just go, I'm going to make a slightly bigger fire than usual, And that is enough to give people a like hugger sense, a like, you know, oh, we're standing around this thing, oh, let's be okay. And like, even though it's not generating any heat for, you know, it's, it's bigger than normal, but it's not like heating up the whole parachute or, you know, doing whatever else. It's just something about, I can't remember what book I was reading the other day. And my son was reading it maybe. And one of the activities that the children wanted to do was put on the fire and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a hearth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, we never go, what are you doing? I'm watching the fire.
Yeah.
But I wonder whether I should do that a bit more. Like, especially when, because some people will come and sit around the fire to like re-regulate. Mm-hmm. Like that's our like hub. They'll just come back and just kind of go, yeah, I'm all right. I'm not doing anything, you know. Like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and watch the fire. I'm just going to watch it crackle and all that bit's going now. And like, sort of pole bridge that a bit more, you know. Because watching a fire is hugely, you know, welfare.
Yeah, without and without an expectation that you are looking after it. You know, you're not like on fire duty in case anyone like hurts themselves or if it needs more wood. Just watching it for something to do, like watching telly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. Yeah. I just want to go and watch fire now.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I hope people find this helpful, and I hope, you know, like we said at the top, use the SpeakPipe thing on the website and just press the record button and send us a little message and tell us like what you're doing to look after yourself this winter.
Yeah.
And we can share them through the podcasts, and you know, everybody can share their best bits. Amazing.
Cool.
Right. Happy Yule.
Happy Yule, festive Yule. La, 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 la.